Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
So we are looking at Numbers 28 tonight. I have to commend everyone for making it out tonight. Wasn't that just a wet, nasty night, cold? Although last night was a lot colder. That was brutal. But I know. I said to Jill, there's not going to be many people here tonight, and it's far more attended than I thought it would be. So praise the Lord. We can be quick. So probably some of you, or at least maybe all of you, know that my son Jesse yesterday went into the hospital with a heart condition. He had niece. Well, we don't know the. Okay, we don't know that there's a connection, but he's had this knee infection, which he had surgery about 3.5 weeks ago, and was recovering and everything was doing great. And the day before, he started having arrhythmia, and he went into AFib yesterday, and his heart was just going crazy. His heart rate was up to like 180. And so he went into the hospital, and he's been in there. He just was released, though, today with some beta blockers, like some medication that's supposed to slow it, you know, mellow his heart out. And so he's still in AFib, but they expect him, you know, to recover, and he's going to be closely monitored. So you got me tonight. I'm filling in for Jesse, and but God willing, he's actually preaching on Sunday. So God willing, he'll be fine for this Sunday. But so we could pray for him, and let's pray for the lesson tonight. Again, Numbers 28, and these are about offerings. But really, as I was reading these, it just reminded me, it's really all a picture of us being an offering, a living sacrifice to the Lord, a living offering, you know, as opposed to a dead offering, as these animals were. So let's pray and thank the Lord for being here tonight. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here together studying your word, Lord, and gleaning what we can to impact our own lives. You know, these are stories that are just hundreds of, you know, over almost 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, and yet, Lord, they still apply to us, even though we don't follow the law. And Lord, I want to lift up Jesse to you, Lord. I just pray that you would heal him completely, restore his heart to the proper beat that it's supposed to operate in, and just give him full recovery. And for everyone here, Lord God, I just want to ask for a blessing upon all of us, because we made it out of our house to be here tonight to learn from you, to learn in your word, Lord. And we thank you for everyone who is here tonight, and we ask you to really sharpen our mind and heart to think like you and live like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to dive in. We're going to read first the first 8 verses, which have to do with daily offerings, okay? And I know some of this can get tedious as we read it, but I think it's just reading the word, even sometimes when we don't fully understand every word of it, I think it's showing dedication to God and honoring his word. But then we're going to talk about what it means to us. So, Numbers 28, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings, made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord. 2 male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be of one-fourth of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering and its drink offering. And you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So here, just kind of focusing on, this is a daily offering in the morning and in the at nighttime. It's routine, it's regular. And when the Israelites offered up these animals, it was, of course, in place of them. They're saying, you know, Lord, may this animal represent my sin and my inadequacies in ways that I haven't necessarily followed every rule. May this offering replace me. In other words, this animal's death represents my death, so I don't have to die, you know? So it's atoning for us and preventing God's wrath. And so that was the picture in the Old Testament. And the Israelites realized that these animals were like an extension of them, you know? In other words, when they offered that animal up, it was a representation of themselves. And we could see throughout Old Testament scriptures that actually the psalmists and the prophets, they realized that they were, in a sense, an offering as well. And I want to show you some cross-reference verses in Psalms. These are Psalms of various people, including, of course, King David, the sons of Korah, and so forth. So let's look at Psalm 5:3 and Psalm 88:13. And here we see, oh, there you go. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Another verse, but to you I have cried out, O Lord. And in the morning my prayer comes before you. So here the psalmists are saying, every morning I get up, I am going to offer myself to you as an offering. You know, just like these offerings, they're offering animals. Really, the Israelites realized that they had to offer themselves up to the Lord as well. And then we have a couple reflecting the evening, because it was the same thing. In Psalm 63:6 and Psalm 141:2, this is all a picture of evening offerings. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 141:2, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And we know in the New Testament, our prayers are seen really as incense to the Lord. When we pray to the Lord, it's like he spiritually smells our prayers. Like to him, it's like a fragrance, you know. And then we see another psalm where the psalmist is saying, I'm just offering myself up to you all the time, morning, evening, and noontime. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So the idea here is to be offering ourselves up all the time, just as the Israelites did. But for us, it's actually different, isn't it? Because we truly are, because we now are the righteousness of Christ, we are the living sacrifice. In fact, Romans 12:1 says this, Paul writing to the Romans, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So when we offer ourselves up in the morning, during the day, and the evening, we're saying, Lord, you are the sacrifice. And now, because I am in you, I can offer myself up, not killing an animal, instead surrendering myself as a living sacrifice every morning, every nighttime. So when we get into the small groups, we have questions in each of these categories, you'll see, asking about what this means to us as believers. But one thing that struck me as I was thinking about this, you know, because we are the new creation, we are the living sacrifices. Christ actually represented all of this himself, because he would get up early in the morning when it was still pitch black out. I was reading this morning, getting prepared, and it was about 5 or 4 in the morning, and it's pitch black outside. And I love being up early. I don't know about you guys, but I just love getting up really early. I love just laying on my face and praying to God and just, you know, preparing in the morning, preparing whatever is going to happen, and just dedicating that morning to the Lord. I'm much better at the mornings than the nighttimes. I don't know about you. By the nighttime comes, I'm just like, you know, nodding off. It's hard for me to be zealous to the Lord late at night. But Jesus, he got up in the morning before the light even came up. But then he also prayed late at night, sometimes right through the night. Let's look at a couple of verses here. We have here Mark 1:35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, meaning Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Another time, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And the verse goes on, the next verse goes on, and then he got up during the day and started his day after all night praying. Now, when you look at these verses, it's interesting because each time that he was up early in the morning or praying late at night, or praying through the night, something significant would come right after that moment. In fact, that last verse we read when he prayed right through the night, just after that, he got up and he ended up finding and choosing his 12 disciples. I mean, that's significant, isn't it? I mean, those were his 12 disciples, apostles, that were the key, really, to forming the kingdom of God. He used them to spread the word. And then, of course, more than just those 12. Also, in Mark 14:23-25, he was praying, right, into the night. And what did he do? He saw his disciples out in the Sea of Galilee trying to row through a storm. And he walked out to them on the water. You know, I don't know if I would love to be able to have a powerful night of prayer and then just walk outside and then just go find a nice pond and walk right across it. I don't expect that to happen, but it would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But, you know, the Lord, when he was just in trance and meditating to his Father, something amazing would always happen just after that, as if the Lord was preparing him for what he's about to go into and what he's about to accomplish. And then Matthew 26:36-44, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest. You know, again, getting his heart and mind resolved to the will of his Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And then Luke 5:16, again, just goes on to say that he was always going off away from the crowds and praying by himself, because he didn't want to be persuaded by the crowds or even his own disciples. Remember what he said to Peter when Peter was trying to convince him, no, you shouldn't go. They're waiting there to kill you. He said, get behind me, Satan, when he was speaking to Peter. So this is the idea that he always set himself apart to his Father and prayed. So when we break into small groups, we're going to talk about what that matters to us. But in the meantime, let's read on. And these are the Sabbath offerings, verse 9. And on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs in their first year without blemish and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. And this is the burnt offering for every Sabbath besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. So here again, this is every Sabbath they are to consecrate to the Lord because it is the holy day of rest, right? Now, when we go into small groups, we're going to talk about, well, what does a day of rest mean to us as believers? I'm sure you guys have talked about, you know, should the Sabbath be a holy day for us? And should Sunday be a day now that we don't do any work or whatever? So you could talk about that in the small groups. But next, monthly offerings. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil for each bull, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil for the 1 ram, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. Notice it's always mixed with oil. And for us, of course, the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit and the light of God. As a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then a drink offering shall be half of a hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin of for a ram, and 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Now, we've been going through over the past now couple years through all the books of the Bible, Exodus especially and Leviticus, where we talked a great deal about the offering. So we're not going to dissect those because, you know, Jamie, John Kratz, Jesse, and Danny did a great job already, you know, pulling those apart. But what we can just say is these were monthly offerings, otherwise known as the new moon offering. And of course, you know, there's a new cycle of the moon every year and every month. And so these are the new moon offerings. But it's interesting in Israel's history that these new moon offerings actually became a time of corruption and a time where people just took the Lord for granted, and actually they became like partying times. Hey, it's the new moon. It's time to get wrecked, or it's time to party down. The new moon, you know, festival. And so Isaiah writes about this in Isaiah 1:14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. And it goes on from there as far as, you know, how they, it became ritual. It became habitual. It just became something that we do, but our heart is not in it. I can remember going to church for years and just being there and not have any, like not have heard one word said by a priest or sung, just totally daydreaming the entire time and thinking like, you know, this is kind of, I'm sort of corrupting my time with the Lord because I'm not giving it any significance into my own heart and mind, you know? And so that's what the Israelites turned these rules and regulations and rituals into. So next is the offerings at Passover. And this, of course, we're not going to read these verses, but we're just going to mention that the Passover, of course, was a time to remember when the Israelites were in Egypt. And it was the 10th plague. And the Lord sent the destroyer over every home. And the firstborn in every home was destroyed, was killed, except any home that had the Passover lamb's blood painted over the doorposts and lintel. There you go, lintel, right? Isn't there any carpenters in the house? Lintel? Or lentil? Lentil's a bean type thing. Lintel, okay. Right, the top beam, how about that? But anyway, they painted over the doorway, and that blood was to tell the destroyer, no, this is covered by the Passover lamb. And of course, you know, Jesus is our Passover lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So this Passover always represents for us Christ, and that's why he had to die at Passover for this reason. And so they would celebrate this again with offerings, with sacrifices. And then finally, the last one is Pentecost. Let's read this one. This is verse 26 to the end of the chapter. Also, on the day of the first fruits, now this feast is called several things. First of all, it's called the first fruits. When you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of weeks, which is another name for it, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. Two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year, with their grain offerings of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Verse 31, be sure they are without blemish, and you shall present them with their drink offerings besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. So it was always important to be choosing a sacrifice that wasn't like the runt of the litter. You know, it was a prime, perfect offering that was like beautiful compared to its siblings in the flock, you know, because really you were supposed to be giving something to God that was precious to you, that you would have otherwise wanted to keep as a pet or eat, you know, but instead you're offering it up to the Lord. And of course, again, it's a picture of Christ because he was without blemish. He was perfect, you know, he was without sin. So this Pentecost celebrated when the law was given. The law was given 50 days after the Passover when they reached Mount Sinai, and that's when the Lord began to speak to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. The Israelites heard it at the base of the mountain. Now, of course, Moses stayed up there 40 days and nights kibitzing with God, okay? But at the end of all that, okay, if you can recall what happened, the Israelites sinned against the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. You know, they said to Moses, you go up and whatever you tell us to do, we will do. And the first four that all had to do with God, they broke all four of them by that presenting that golden calf. And so that was when the law was given. But this Pentecost, in contrast, would be when the Holy Spirit was given to the church and 3,000 lived. It's a mirror. You ever hear of in scripture chiasm? It's where like there's all kinds of different equations, but you know, you could see like A, B, C, and then C, B, A. You know, there's like, it's like an inversion. Well, in a sense, Pentecost really is like the center point, and you could see an inversion of the law bringing 3,000 to their death because of disobedience, and yet Pentecost bringing new life to people through Pentecost, through the Holy Spirit. So the difference between the law and grace. And so this is what they offered. And again, when we break into small groups, we're going to talk about what Pentecost means to the believer. So you ready to break into small groups? We have a lot of questions. We have 9 questions. And I think they're pretty intriguing that we're going to want to really dive into. And so let's do that. Let's pray, and then we'll break up. And then this side, why don't we go to the prayer room, right? And you guys can stay here. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Father God, thank you for this time we had together. Thank you for this picture of offerings and sacrifices, Lord, that we do not have to abide by any longer, because this is the old law, and all of it was pointing to Jesus Christ being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So as we go into small groups, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to waken us up, Lord God, that you would sharpen us, Lord, and that your wisdom and knowledge would just be pouring out from us, Lord, and we would be able to edify one another with things that you are showing us through your scriptures. So we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss his word. Don't forget to join us for worship live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.